I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
I will say that this Black History Month has been so incredibly messy. Miss Rachel Dolezal out here losing her job over OnlyFans.
Oh.
And she changed her name to Ngechi, I think is how you say it. During Black History Month, Rachel, are you serious?
Yo, That's karma, though. The karma said, you want to be Black, I'm going to get you when it's time to be Black, okay?
Yeah, and the thing that I say all the time, two things can be true. You should not lose your job. Like, sex work is work, and it's fucked up that people could lose their jobs for, like, what they do in their personal time.
Right.
That is one thing. And also, Rachel Dolezal is a hot ass mess, and it's just wild to me that she continues to be in the news.
Well, and here's the thing, if that is one person that we can cancel. You know, I know that we can't though. Evidently, because she's like an STD. She just keeps coming back.
but that's the thing of, like, every time the word cancel culture comes up, I always point to the fact that no one has been canceled. Like, she has faced consequences, sure, but she had a job until now.
Well, maybe it's like a momentary cancel, or maybe it's like a shaming, right? I talked recently on the podcast about parental shaming. And I do think, as much as shame can be have a negative connotation, I do think shame
sometimes
has
you need to
a purpose.
Bring shame back.
No, it has a purpose in society to, like, keep you in the moral center, or like stop you from doing some crazy ass shit, you know, Rachel Dolezal.
Yes. And here's the thing. I'm sure she'll be fine, because while she lost her day job, I guarantee you her OnlyFans numbers shot up.
I hope they did.
Out of morbid curiosity. Some people might not even be into it. They're just like, I gotta see this. Yo,
I mean, you sent it to me. I opened it up and I was like, even on the news report, they had to block out the actual shot, but they showed most of it. I was like, you showed everything but the puss. Okay.
Oh, let me tell you, some uncensored photos.
You saw them?
My group chat was sharing them gleefully.
Oh my god!
This is crazy.
Oh, see, now what do I feel bad? Now I'm like, I talked about shaming her, and I'm like, oh god, now people are making it a complete joke.
Yeah, I mean, look, again, duality. Two things can be true, right? Like,
yeah.
A little healthy dose of shame is a worthwhile thing, and also, like, I do kind of, I similarly feel bad for her. Something's going on with her. Something has been going on with her for a minute.
Right. I would like to throw in terms of Black History Month and stuff going on. I know you don't follow politics like that, but, you know, there's the Georgia case with Trump and all of his cronies about trying to steal the election in 2020. And the DA, Fannie Willis,
I saw a viral clip of her
on the stand and gave these people so much of her two cents. She, at one point, I was like, this is like Law and Order meets A Few Good Men. What is actually happening on the stand? She said, you must be confused. She said, you think I'm on trial. She said, they're on trial for trying to steal an election in 2020. At one point, she put her hand on her forehead. She was being asked about some charges that she had. And she was like, ma'am, I don't have checks. I was like, yo, Black people will let you know.
Oh, my gosh. Well, listen, if you are actually in the mood for Black history year round, not just in the shortest month of the year, you have to check out my new podcast with Wondery, Black History for Real.
Conscious.
Yes, Francesca.
When I say the words Black history, what do you think about?
Well, depends on how deep you want to go. Lately, I've been thinking about the women of the Black Panther Party and how it was being infiltrated by the white.
Okay, wait. Not you, you, okay? We know you are very, very smart. What do most people think about when they hear the words Black History?
Well, in that case, Rosa Parks, Reconstruction, MLK, February, Black History Month.
Exactly, exactly. There are so many stories of Black history that we just are not really talking about or thinking about, especially outside of February. And we are about to flip the script on all of that.
I'm co-hosting it with Conscious Lee, who is a very funny and smart, very super viral TikToker who talks about Black history. And it's really cool because I kind of get to act a little bit because we're like doing dramatizations.
Wait
of like,
a minute.
I
Wait
know.
A minute. Are you, do you, have, do you get a costume? I know it's a pop, but you need like a wig to get in a character, right?
I have like a booth in my office that I've been recording in. It's like stays up in my office. Just the mental picture of me in full costume in a little booth.
Sweating your whole ass off. Okay.
Sweating my whole out. No air conditioner on. In the dark.
Wow.
Reading my little script. Acting.
You know what I read recently about the Black Panthers? And this is a fact that I did know, but that I forget, is that before, you know, the government subsidized school breakfasts for kids. The Black Panthers were doing that in the community. Yes. And that was like a big, you know, we think of them as a militia and like militant and like anti-government and pro-Black and all those things.
Yeah.
But they were doing community work before the government was doing
that. That was Elaine Brown. She was one of the people who was like, hey, we should branch out and do stuff that's not just for Black people in order to help rehab the image of the Black Panthers. I mean, just genius.
Wow.
How can you say we hate white people when we feeding your little hungry white babies?
Well, you ain't feeding them, we're feeding them. Okay. Ooh, wait. No.
Listen. Wait.
I hate you for that.
Let me fix it.
Hello, and welcome back to Let Me Fix It, the podcast that says, I scream, you scream, we all scream from behind the scenes because this shit is a lot of work. Okay. And we love it. It's great work, but it's a lot of work to produce this podcast. I'm DeLon Grant. I'm an actor, a singer, a photographer, and a writer.
And I'm Francesca Ramsey. I'm an actress, producer, writer, and former graphic designer in class. Very exciting news. We are officially halfway through our first season of the pod. Ah! That is correct. The good folks at Acast, shout out to our partner managers, Guillermo and Tim, ordered 48 episodes of Let Me Fix It, and we have pumped out exactly 24.
24 sounds crazy to me. It doesn't feel like that, but also it does.
No.
Right?
What is time? It feels like we've been doing this podcast for 2 seconds, but then when I looked back, I was like, holy shit, like we've been doing this for a minute.
Recently, we reran an episode and I was like, God, we have enough material to like rerun an episode and y'all were still loving it. I'm so excited about that.
Running them numbers up.
Okay.
Not mad about it.
For real. So class, while you all know we love to laugh on the show, we've also been known to get a little deep, a little self-reflective, as it were. So this week, we wanted to talk about the journey to bring Let Me Fix It to life. Everything from producing the show to what we've learned thus far. And as always, the fixes that helped us get there. A little behind the podcast, so to speak. So let's dive in. This is Let Me Fix It behind the podcast.
Okay, so look, I'm going to dive right in. Even the fact that we now do a ca 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 ca.
I love that you just, when you broke it down, we do a ca 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 ca. It's so true.
Okay, so again, like I'm getting the cart before the horse, but if you listen to the show from the beginning, even though our episodes have been recorded out of order and are not uploaded chronologically, you can notice different things in the evolution of our show.
It's so true.
That clap, clap, clap was not always there at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
We did not always say, let's dive in. This is such and such. Let me fix it. But now we do.
Yeah.
And then we follow with the claps. And now you, I think, were the first one to do it. We now have jokingly started doing our own version of the claps. It's so funny. And again, it's just like, ooh, it tingles my brain. Like, the branding is so strong.
Well, it's also so great because like, this as a writer, but they talk about oftentimes when you write to let the story will start dictating what comes next. Mm-hmm. The characters will start telling you what happens next. I think it's the same thing. This show involves a lot of writing, but I think in the evolution of it, we like, we're also very good at yes anding, but you kind of, the show is telling us what it needs to be, and it, we're, yes, we're both developing and maturing, and you know, it's becoming a fine wine, as it were.
Ooh,
and we've, yes, both had podcasts before, so we've learned so much before Let Me Fix It. Fran, mm-hmm, what did you learn from the other projects you had that are podcasts, and how did you apply that to our show?
Oh my gosh. A lot of listeners might remember that I had a podcast with my ex-husband called Last Name Basis, and we had that show for like 6 years. But I've also done branded podcasts, and I did one for Annovera, which is a birth control company. And I did one for a company that does like payroll services, ADP. So that was a branded podcast. I've just done so many things, and now Wondery, I have another podcast coming out with Audible. And the thing that I've learned across all the shows is the importance of pre-production, meaning planning before you actually sit down to record.
Yes.
And I think you can tell when you listen to a show and you're like, people are going off on tangents. What the fuck were they talking about? Like, we do so much work ahead of time. And I think also having a solid format is something that I learned doing Last Name Basis. We have all these corners, for example. And the other thing that I realized, especially from my podcast with my ex, is that you really need to make sure that the purpose of your show, that your show has like a focus in terms of like, what's the goal of the focus, the goal of the podcast. And I often joke, some people have a baby to save their relationship. My ex and I had a podcast, and we thought that the podcast was going to like help bring us together. And when I listen back to some of those episodes, I'm like, I can hear that, like,
you can hear the tension.
I can hear the tension, and that like we're trying to keep the show on the tracks, but like,
shit was already derailed. Okay.
We had shit going on outside of the podcast. And so now with working with you and working on these other shows, realizing the importance of like, if we have a thing, we got to take care of it before we record.
Yes.
so that it doesn't bleed into the show. So it's like the relationship and the pre-pro has been huge for me. What about you? You had a podcast with a friend of yours that you met him on tour during a show?
I met him in Boston, actually. My friend Ben Martinez and I had a podcast for just about a year called Our Gay Agenda. And the whole purpose of the podcast was just to talk about things in pop culture, in life, from a very gay perspective, right? He's Mexican, I'm Black. So we were like, we don't see us reflected in this space at that point. Yeah. This is back to 2017-18. So we really wanted to just say something, and we had a lot to say, and we would also have conversations very much like you and I do, Fran, that were very poignant and significant and end up laughing like hysterically. So I was like, let's just put up a mic, why not? But the things I learned from that podcast is, one of the main ones is workload, right?
Yeah.
Brandon lived in Boston while I lived in New York, and so he taught in New York, so he would come to the city, but we would like bang out 4 episodes in a day. And this would
what?
Be
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, and this would be like on my day off from the show, because I was in Come From Away. He was on Broadway. I was performing, and so I was like, come on Monday and we'll bang it out. But like we were exhausted after 4 episodes, right?
Yeah.
Also, like, it's fresher, obviously, in the beginning, and at the end, you're like, I don't know, I don't have any other ideas to come up with. So we kind of had topics, and we would, you know, kind of speak off the cuff and have some bullet points, but that's one thing that I think really serves our show, having a full outline and being able to talk around those things. So that's one thing. Workload, burnout, which is definitely something that
yeah, because you were doing all of the editing for that, and we'll talk about that when we get a little further into like the actual production, because this is like the pre-production part of the conversation. Again, to do 4 episodes in one day and then have to edit all of those on your own is
all of that. I was editing all of our social media stuff. I was, you know, it's a lot of work. And I was trying to, like you do for our socials, at Fix It Pod, I was making little clips of ours as little teasers and trying to get people to watch and interested in the talks you were talking about. So it was a lot of work, you know, to do the audio and the video.
Yeah.
One of the other things I really really appreciated about that podcast, and I think bleeds over to this podcast, is just having an authentic voice. And that's one of the things I really am trying to do as I get older, as an artist, as a creative, as just a, like a human. I just want to be honest, which is why I love, like, yeah, we joke about sex a lot, but that's
but also we need to get laid.
Also, listen, we have a lot of sex, okay? But also, it's so human.
Not
she said, listen, I'm putting out applications.
The tumbleweeds are not just in my IMDb. She said,
I'm dying.
Not you giving me, like, you know what it made me think of? Remember those movies, The Mummy with Brendan Fraser and the sand just flying all over?
Or the mummy comes out of the case, he's like,
That's my puss. Oh,
not for long, girl. We'll fix that.
Well, we're working on it.
We're putting it right. But
I haven't. You'll work on that.
But like being authentic and being goofy and being yourself. And I say this all the time with some of the, we'll talk about our guests that we've had on the pod. But I say this about a lot of people. I really want to be somebody that allows people to be more of themselves, more human. Yeah. And I love and envy people who really allow us to do that and show up authentically in vulnerable ways and being transparent about who they are. So, and the last thing I'll say is just like, whose brainchild is it? Cause you know, nothing against Brendan. I think I would say this to him. Dragged him along on the podcast journey and we loved it. We had a good time doing it. But it was me kind of driving that. And I would, if I could say, I would say it's kind of probably you were driving yours.
So to have
the two of us go, yo, let's do this. It's like kind of serendipitous.
And I think that's a great segue into the next point that I want to bring up. But like, I think a lot of people struggle with this in creative projects. I get messages from people all the time that are like, I want to start a podcast. I want to do a web series. I want to do a YouTube channel. And my friend is not helping me do X, Y, and Z. And I always respond, you got to drop the friend on the project then. If you're not both in the same place, you're never going to be able to convince somebody to care about something as much as you do.
Right.
So you want a partner, whether this be romantically, professionally, or platonically, that's matching your energy on the thing. And so I think that serves both of us really well in this respect. How did we come up with the concept for Let Me Fix It?
Well, we've been trying to work on something for years. Class, if you didn't hear our first episode, we talked about going to acting school together. And Fran and I really bonded and became friends over this show we did called After a Fashion in college. And after that, which involved a lot of writing, a lot of brainstorming. And since then, we've just been trying to come up with something. Yeah. And I think Let Me Fix It is just us slowly chipping away at that and trying things and seeing what worked, trying being in the same place at the same time and then not, and technology helping us out, right?
Yes, and to all of those things. And I think the lesson for our audience when it comes to that is good ideas take time. Oof. You know, like we couldn't have made this show. We've been friends now 20 plus years. We couldn't have made this show 10 years ago. One, technology wasn't available to make this show. If you don't know, I'm in Los Angeles. Delon is currently in Boston.
Delon is everywhere.
Where in the world is Delon Grant? Delon stay, you know, racking up the miles, working on different shows, visiting people, being on vacation, whatever. So 10 years ago, we couldn't have done this.
Right.
But also to your point about we've been ruminating on like, what is it that we want to do? And we initially were going to try and do a web series.
Right.
I won a YouTube contest in 2011 called Next Up, and I won this money. And I was like, I want to put this towards doing a web series. And we started like banging around some ideas. I think we were supposed to be siblings.
We were siblings. I found it was Audra and Smith were our names. Ooh, I found the doc. I found the doc.
She loves a doc. She loves a doc.
I found a little bit of, I'm not going to read all this, but I just wanted to describe what this opening sequence is. So it's the first shot. It's a close-up. Fran is Audra. She's painting her toenails, and then the camera goes up her leg, and then she's lip-syncing Unbreak My Heart. I know, it's so...
I'm looking at it in the doc right now, and I'm like, I don't remember this at all.
Did I
write this?
No.
Or you wrote that?
No, I think we each, like, similar to what we do for Let Me Fix It, we do it together. I think, like, you would write some, and then I would write some. I don't remember writing any of this. But
now, look, this line looks like me. Audra is always on a diet of some sort. Girl, drag yourself.
Wait, my favorite is, her lips are sinking to unbreak my heart. Like, somebody, one of us wrote that and thought, you know, lip sinking, her lips are
lips
sinking.
Lips are sinking,
you
yeah.
think that's so cute, don't you?
No, I mean, listen, she loves a pun. She loves a play on words. Yeah, I mean, to our credit, what I love about us and our creative process is we started working on this thing and we were like, I don't really know if this is it, but also, like, we'll figure it out.
What else are we doing?
This might not be it, but, like, we're going to keep trying. And then in 2013, we had a short-lived YouTube series called He Said, She Said on YouTube. You can watch episodes of He Said, She Said still on our new YouTube channel, youtube.com/@fixitpod. These videos are...
Hey, guys!
Hello!
It is Vlogmas Day 5, and I'm here with my very best friend... in the entire world, Delon.
Hello, everyone.
So we thought that it would be fun to recap Smash, which is one of my favorite shows. I don't know if it's your favorite.
It's one of them. I mean, I'm a critic.
So, like, I also, like, it's so sweet to go back and go back and watch yourself.
These videos are 10 years old.
Crazy. The skin is taut. Oh. I mean, your skin looks the same. Ready? Her fucking skin looks the same.
I also look like a fucking toothpick. You, trigger warning. I am so thin.
You are tiny. You are tiny. I mean, I was a little snatched too. I'm not going to lie. But what I love about it is it's basically what we're doing now with Let Me Fix It, right? We were on tour. I was on tour with another Broadway show. And you were at home and, like, your YouTube was...
In Queens. In my little apartment in Queens.
But you were, like, fucking killing it on YouTube, chipping away at that, editing for hours and hours and hours. And you were like, hey, let's do a thing on YouTube. Let's review TV shows that we really like. Yeah. Scandal was one of them.
It was just a one-off thing that I did because I was doing... Vlogmas, which is every day up until Christmas. And so every day I was trying to pump out content. And I think you were in town during one of your, like, off seasons for your show. And so, like, you had been in a few videos of us, like, partying together and being out in the world. And so we made this video. I think we were reviewing Smash.
It was Smash, yep.
And people... loved it, and they were like, we want to see more of you guys, so we did more. And then what got hard is when you left again, this is the technology portion of it, it was really hard for us to record remotely. We were recording over Skype, which, talk about an episode.
Wow.
What happened to Skype?
And I don't understand why these companies don't go, let me buy Zoom, okay?
But also, like, Zoom came and stole your motherfucking thunder because no one was thinking about Zoom.
Well, I mean,
but then the pandemic happened.
I was going to say, if the pandemic hadn't happened, Zoom would not be a thing either. Ready?
And I used Zoom before the pandemic, to be fair. I used it when I worked at Upworthy, but I didn't know all the capabilities that it had because I just used it for work.
Yeah.
But, I mean... recording over Skype, I had to buy a program that allowed me to record on Skype.
Oh,
Skype did
that's
not,
right.
Skype did not let you record. And then the audio wasn't always synced. So I had to, like, extract the audio and then resync the audio.
Yo,
and then
that
I was
is
down,
so much editing.
So much. And then this was, you know, there was no, if I wanted to put clips from Smash or Scandal or Girls, because those are the shows that we were recapping, I had to download them illegally. I had to, like, go,
like,
find
on a
them
VPN
on,
somewhere
on a fucking BitTorrent.
Wow.
And download the whole episode and then clip it up. I mean, it was just so
much
work. I mean,
listen here, Neo from the Matrix. You are she's literally going trying to find them. Oh my god. Yeah, but you did it, man. Like, that's really impressive. Like, that is such skill, you know. The other thing I really love about these videos, other than us being babies, is some of the stuff we talk about, right? It's just seeing our personality, which is still so extant, right? We're at one point we're like, Rihanna comes up and then we just jump into singing Rihanna and cackling.
She's not Rihanna.
Dime right like a diamond.
Hey, no.
One of the really big things that I think is like not disappointing, but we talk a little bit about being Black actors and we bring that up and like how hard that is. And you mentioned at some point like wanting to be like the best friend, the Black best friend in a show, and just joking about it. And I was like, God, man, it's changed a little bit, but it hasn't changed that much. So to see our younger selves talking about it, I'm like, wow, it's like, it's relevant, you know, and
poignant. I felt very similarly because we'll put a clip in the episode, but I think we were talking about colorblind casting on Smash, and I was saying how there are certain roles that I wish that I could audition for.
What if they like made her Marilyn Monroe? If they like plopped a blonde wig on her?
You know what though? I would love that because I don't think there's enough colorblind casting.
I agree with you.
Because, you know, as an actor myself, it pisses me off that like there are tons of plays and shows that I'm like, oh, I would love to play the mom in that, or I mean, because I'm old now.
You're right. Like things haven't changed, unfortunately, in that respect. But what makes me feel so like my heart feels really filled when I watched those is like you and I have changed. Yeah. You and I have grown, and our priorities and all the things that we've done. Like I never could have known all that we would accomplish in the 10 years since we started that series.
That's such good perspective.
And like, it's just, it's really, really incredible. And the other thing that I'll say that I love about watching us crack up on that show is something that you and I are really good about in the yes anding space is like, you'll make a joke and then I'll just take the joke and like, make it bigger, and then you'll make the joke bigger.
Yeah.
We'll just go, she'll do this. She'll be like, wah! And then you'll be like, wah! And then she'll like,
that is so true. That is so true. That's such a good observation. I love it.
My God.
Yeah.
How, if in any way at all, do you think that making He Said, She Said prepared us for Let Me Fix It?
To your point about like what we've accomplished in the last 10 years. I think when we started He Said, She Said, we wanted to say something, right? We wanted to say something, but I don't think we had lived enough to say anything substantive, and or like our thoughts hadn't formed around certain things. We hadn't had enough experiences, right? And again, we couldn't have known where we'd be in 10 years. So I think now that we've lived a lot more life, now that we have solidified opinions, solidified perspectives, solidified politics, right?
Yeah.
We can come and have a value add, right, to the conversation, which I think is really important. What about you?
Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly. Yeah, I watch those episodes and they're funny, and but they're snarky at times in a way where I cringe a little bit, and I'm like, oh God, like you're being a bitch. You're talking too much shit. You know what I mean? And that's like a me thing. And I think in terms of the question of how did it prepare us for now, I think it was helping us, to your point, like solidify our voice. And because on that show, even though we were being snarky, we were always kind of trying to figure out what's the right way for this to happen. Maybe it should have been this, or I would have liked to see this. And even through our snark, we always found grains of, I really like this person. I really want the best for them. I want this to be more successful. And I really appreciate that that's something that we've held on to for this show. Like the title says it all, Let Me Fix It. It's about making things better. And so it's not just snark for snark's sake. And I feel like unknowingly it prepared us to do it on this show in a more substantive way.
Yeah, I agree. If I were to say, what famous person is connected to Let Me Fix It, what would you think I'm referring to?
Oh, what famous person can connect?
Think about its inception. Think about its name. When did we come up with the name?
Oh, Christina Aguilera.
Oh, shit, no.
No? Oh,
who? Okay, Baratunde's Whiskey Night is a hint.
Oh, AOC.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's so funny. Yeah, so class, we were at Baratunde Thurston, used to have this whiskey party, and it was basically, he just loved whiskey. And so he was like, yo, I'm drinking whiskey. If you want to come
on down.
Come on down. I'm not a big drinker. I'm not a big whiskey person. But Were you living in New York or were you just visiting? I don't
think I might have just been visiting, actually. Yeah.
Okay. So you were in town. So we went to the whiskey night. And lo and behold, we met AOC before. But she was in the process of running for office.
And let me tell
she was giving out business cards.
She was handing her card. She was and asking questions. She was like legitimately sitting and talking to us. And I remember us talking to her about the podcast.
We can't vote for you. We were like, we can't vote for you because we don't live in your district. But like, you're amazing.
Insane. Yeah. But like, there aren't many people that I feel like you meet very randomly that like are super attentive, listen in a certain way and respond. And I think we're talking about the podcast. I really do think we're talking about the podcast.
I mean, we talked to her about all sorts of stuff. And to your point about being attentive and just like awesome and genuine, she followed me on social media from that interaction and is still following me to this day.
Wow.
And every once in a while, we'll show up in my DMs, we'll like exchange messages. I had a viral Instagram reel at one point and it went viral because of her. Mm. And so, yeah, that's so funny. I forgot. Let's manifest that we'll get her on the pod.
Ooh, that would be, yes, claimed.
That would be really fun. So next up, I wanted to talk about the process of pitching Let Me Fix It to different podcast networks. And this might be something that is new information to our class, but we decided to not do the podcast independently, meaning that we were just like starting from scratch, and instead we pitched to three different podcast networks. We pitched to Earwolf, HeadGum, and Acast, which is now where we're at, is Acast. Dylan, I'm curious, you know, had you pitched before? What did you think about the process? And also, you know, explaining to the class why we went this direction instead of doing it on our own.
Well, I'll go backward. When we decided that we wanted to do it in 2020 and we started to put a treatment together, I was like, let's just do it. Let's do a sample episode and like, let's just put it out there. And Fran was like, no. She was like, I am going to get someone to pay us to do this. We are going to find someone to buy this, which you did. And, you know, big ups to your team, especially AJ at UTA, mm-hmm. who AJ mm-hmm. Leon, who really helped us along with the not only the negotiation process, but like closing the deal, which took 2 years, like a long time. But you know, we really did it because you wanted to do it this way, which was so smart, because why do work if you're not being paid for it, right?
Thank you. Yeah.
But the thing, I'd never pitched before, and the closest comp I could say is auditioning, right? Yes. I audition a lot. I had a call back today. Auditioning, you're going in, you're trying to be personable and show them your personality, and then you're trying to show them that you're the best fit for the character that they're trying to cast, right? And I think pitching is very similar, and I'm sure you could speak to this too, Fran. Pitching is very similar, but you're just selling yourself, and that was a little like, let me find a joke. You know what I mean? It was a little bit of a weird experience, but you've pitched a lot.
Oh yeah, I've pitched so much. So fun fact, factoid, I have sold a television show every year since 2017. And not one of them has gotten onto TV. And early in my career, that was something that I was really embarrassed by. But as I've gotten further in my career and I've learned more about the business, it's kind of par for the course. Yeah. A lot of people sell things that you never see. Mm. And to my credit, I've gotten really good at knowing how to pitch things and like how to, and I've sold things that have made it, right? Web series, this podcast,
right.
All sorts of different like random odds and ends. But the process, to your point about auditioning, is kind of like you're putting on a show.
Yeah.
And that's the thing I like about it. Mm. I'm really good at giving you a taste for who I am. My first agent ever, Scott, told me, you are really good in a room. Mm. And I remember taking that to heart and being like, and to your point about auditioning, something that I've heard a number of times is book the room.
Book the room.
You might not book the job, but book that room. And so when it came time for us to pitch this show, I put together a little doc. Again, she loves a doc. And we read off of the script in the pitch. And that's something that I learned Shumika and I sold a show to Fox in 2019. And our showrunner was Kay Cannon. She wrote all three of the Pitch Perfect movies.
Wow.
Shout out to her. She also was a writer on 30 Rock. She directed the Cinderella movie for Amazon. And she was the first person I ever met who said, oh, we are writing a script for this pitch. And Shumika and I had printouts in our hand.
Wow.
With our script on it while we were in the physical room pitching.
See, that was my question. I was like, wait a second.
We pitched
in
person.
Were y'all on Zoom? You printed out a script for the pitch? Yo, write this down, friends, because that is such a brilliant hack. I would think that would be not the right thing to do. That would be...
No one cares.
Wow.
No one cares. They know, like, you're doing, and not only did we print out the script, after each pitch, we got notes from Kay and Laverne, our producers, and they would be like, we're going to cut this, we're going to change this, this didn't work. And so we would print out new scripts. So we needed a printout because we would do things differently. And similar to when you and I pitched Let Me Fix It, every place you pitch is going to be a little bit different.
Right.
This network has this kind of show and you want to say, we are really similar to this show, or we're really different, or we would fit with this or whatever. In TV, the network says, we want to tap into that Gen Z market. So you're going to change your pitch to add some Gen Z shit in there. And you might not remember, so fucking print it out. You don't have to like bury your face in it. It's
right.
Kind of like, you know, auditioning. You know the general gist.
You've rehearsed it.
Yeah. And to go back again, jumping around, you and I rehearsed the pitch.
Yeah.
We didn't do it cold. Like, we made sure we knew what we were doing.
Well, and I'll add this too. Fran and I also pitched to Spotify. So Fran got an offer to be a host of Spotify podcast, and she looped me in. I think were you auditioning with somebody else? And then,
well, yeah, I auditioned with my friend Jordan Carlos, who's a comedian. Yeah. And they had said to me it was to host a daily podcast. My friend Kat Lazo actually ended up getting the job. I think she only did the job for like 2 years, but they were looking for host and they were preferring people who knew each other.
Mm.
So Jordan and I got paired up because we knew each other. And they said, you know, we really loved your test. Do you have a friend or anybody that you would potentially host this show with? And you and I had been talking about trying to do a podcast.
Right.
And I was like, yo, if we booked this job, that would be amazing. We would be doing a daily podcast together. And we had a number of stories that we had to like read before the test. And then we had to throw to different segments. We had to read scripted bits. And even though we didn't book that job afterwards, I was like, yo, we are the fucking shit.
Well, and it was just a really nice springboard, you know, to be like, okay, we not only can do this, but we should do this, and let's do this now. One of the things that you suggested that I really loved in just waiting for our deal to close was like, let's start doing some IG posts. Like, let's start getting buzz around the show by doing live streams. And it helped to solidify the format and give people a little bit of a taste of the pod, but I think was so, so smart.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. We sold the show to Acast in 2021, but it took 2 years for our deal to close. And I learned through that process and with other friends, the podcast world is oversaturated right now. And for that reason, a lot of networks are stretched thin. They are managing so many shows. And in our instance, you know, Francesca comes with a team of people. Mm. So... my lawyers were like, no, and a no, and a yes, and we want this. And I think that Acast was like, whoa, this is a lot. And so like that kind of slowed the process down. But we got an amazing deal. But those 2 years were really, really hard. And I've learned from other people, their deals have taken 3 years.
Wow.
You know, a year and a half, whatever. And in TV, similarly, when Sham and I sold a show to Paramount Plus, our deal took 9 months to close. And it was 9 months of not getting paid. And also not knowing like how much you're going to get paid, when is it going to happen, whatever. And so it all worked out. But in that time, I was feeling restless. And Instagram was a really great way for us to like test things out. We wrote an outline for those two test episodes. We used them for the actual show. So that was the thing that we fixed. And then I want to talk about production, like actually making the show. One fix that both of us employed from our previous shows that we've worked on is stockpiling episodes. We launched and I think we had 10 episodes in the can.
Yeah, we had 10 episodes in the can, and that was a big goal of ours, because like the rat race of like trying to get it done every week was something we experienced and did not want to go through again. And I think we did a really good job of not only setting ourselves up, but doing the homework and being like, no, we're going to record multiple times a week so that we can have that stockpile. And now we're kind of, we've gone through that and we're in the process.
We're getting caught back up.
In the process of like full transparency, trying to stockpile some more so that we have that leeway and that wiggle room. But I think it was one of the best things, because again, we live on different coasts, we have multiple jobs, we live that gig life, you know. So it's just really smart to keep the consistency of the podcast going, but also to give ourselves just some room to wiggle around and live. You know,
and in that same vein, another fix that we employed for production is our episodes are evergreen. And that's something that has been a interesting thing to teach our listeners, because I often get people pitching us ideas and they're like, can you talk about this thing that happened this week? And in my mind, I'm like, this doesn't really fit our show. Like, we do evergreen topics so that we can kind of break out of the noise of what everybody else is talking about. You know, the Grammys happen, so then everybody's doing a Grammys episode, but our episode's about the shopping mall.
Right.
It sets us apart. And it also, to your point about giving us that wiggle room, that way we're not like, we have to record this week, and then you have to turn around the edit immediately. Otherwise, 2 weeks from now, a Grammys recap episode is going to bomb. No one gives a fuck about it anymore.
Well, and one of the things I think having that stockpile has helped us, when something has happened in the news, we go, oh, wait,
let's move
something
it
just happened with Jussie Smollett. Let's get that episode up there. And or Christina Aguilera just dropped, you know, she's having a Broadway show. Burlesque is coming to Broadway. Let's bop that out.
Move the episode. You know?
And I also love that we said this on prior episodes, we have a list class of potential episodes that we can do. And we've also gone, you know, we have 8 episodes left, but let's like put together an outline really quick for this episode, because this is happening in the news, and it will just allow people, it'll be relevant, and we can add our spice to that, you know, to that conversation.
Yeah. So let's talk about the process of writing and researching our episodes. Delon, talk to me about, because this is something, again, that we both have learned from past podcasts and we've fixed, is that we trade off. I write one, you write one. I write one, you write one. And then we swap the outlines, and then we each do a pass. So, you know, talk about how you feel about that process, how we came to this process, like what it actually looks like in practice.
Yeah, I mean, I love having something in front of us to guide us, right? In my other podcast, we had bullet points, but it was just kind of like sparking conversation, but then you go off into tangents, and then editing is a fucking beast, because you're like, we're talking about this thing and it's relevant, but I want to keep it this short for that. So the idea that we have like a 10-page outline getting us through the hour and a half long podcast, however it happens to be, is so great. Also, off the cuff, you are brilliant off the cuff. I can be brilliant off the cuff, but I'm like, I am a slow thinker. The mouth has to catch up to the brain. You know what I mean? So like, it helps me to like, just know what I want to talk about and what points I want to make. It takes longer to write an outline than I want it to, but I love having the outline. And when that shit is done, I could do a dance, make a little love, get down tonight. Honestly, I remember doing the shopping malls episode and just sitting there reading it and being like, this shit is good. You did a good job.
You and I are the same. I read my shit over and over and over again. Like, I do it with everything. Like, if I film a story on my Instagram that I think is funny, I will sit here and watch the story 10 times.
An audition?
I'll be like, no. I did that. That one was really funny.
I did. Yes. Wait. Do you do this with auditions too? Sidebar, because auditions, I will watch a video so many times, like, I am so talented. I am so good.
No.
That was
I can watch the audition one time and then I put it away. I can't watch that shit
on loop. And here's what happens though. If it's not good, I won't watch it. But if it is good, it will eventually get bad. The more I watch it, I will start nitpicking, and then I'm like, I'm undone.
You know what that reminds me of? Have you ever said a word, and then you say the word over and over and over again, and then the word sounds like it gibberish? You're like, telephone, 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 telephone. Am I using the right word? Is it telephone? You start being like, I think I just made that word up.
I do that in conversations sometimes when I use a word that, you know, my SAT words, and I go, was that the right use?
The right one?
I don't know.
Oh, that's so funny. Some notes that I have in here. So usually class, the outline is a mix of like hard scripted things, meaning we need to get these names or these dates correct. And or we have segues between different segments. And then also we have like bulleted points, which I like from time to time. But one thing that I wanted to mention is that you and I write jokes for each other. So while we do have a lot of off the cuff while we do have off the cuff improvised moments, we have a lot of scripted jokes. And I'm curious, Delon, how you have felt about that process. Cause you know, she's a writer. But I've been so impressed with your joke writing skills. And I'm just curious how you felt about the process of writing in my voice, for example. As I think we've gotten really good at knowing how to do that.
Yeah. What's really funny is that Fran is funny. Fran is a writer. So Fran is literally peppering this outline with jokes all the time. And so I've been like, oh, I need to find some jokes. And or I'll just like in her past, I'll be like, you know, go ahead, add some jokes. Yeah. But it has.
Yeah, literally, we'll have a note. We'll be like, this needs a joke pass. Please. Meaning you need to go through and add jokes. Jokes are missing in the outline.
But they should be there. Yeah, it's been really fascinating to discover your voice. Like, I actually hear it in my head now, where I'm like, if I'm writing something for you, I'm like, oh, Fran wouldn't say that. She would say something like this, right?
Well, and he also class, he will write puns. So even though this is, again, giving you that behind the scenes, sometimes Delon will groan a pun that his motherfucking ass wrote.
She's an actress.
And I'm like, and literally, I'm like, oh my, literally, Delon, I'm like turned on. I'm like, this is the most platonically wet moment of my life. I'm just like, ooh, yes, write me a pun.
Well, and similarly, I'm like, oh God, she loves it. Or when you also like in the Google Doc, you know, you can comment on people's things as if you're sharing the doc. I love when Fran goes, ooh, this is a good one. On a comment, I'm like, well, if Fran says it's good, I know it's fucking good. We have like pretty set segues sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like my favorite ones are when you write for me, and this was really interesting. That is one I've started writing for you. And this was wild, right? There's something
wild. I do say wild.
You say wild a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's so funny. I'm just somebody who loves schedule and loves format and loves familiarity. Mm. And that's something that you learn as a writer, especially I credit when I worked at Nightly Show, which was my first writing job, was a late night show, is we have what are called refillable segments, meaning it's a segment that you can do over and over and over again. So if it's a slow week or you're struggling to come up with something, you're like, oh, let's do a Keep It 100 segment, which is just a segment where each person goes around the table and says something that they're keeping it 100 on. And so similarly, we do that in the show with the glow up, for example. But then also we have kind of like a log line for each episode. And I don't remember when I started doing this, where I would say, so how did it go from X to X? How did Katy Perry go from teenage dream to middle age snooze? How did it go from let's go to the mall to dead malls? How did it go from da 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 to da da da? And so it just like kind of makes your life easier.
I'm also like, how did your brain just pull those out? Those are exactly what we wrote in those outlines. you probably wrote those lines, but like, where does she just pull
those out? I just remember. And I think like for Lisa Frank, it was like, how did it go from back to school must to left in the dust?
Yeah. I mean, like, I guess because they rhyme and right. It's like a little, look here, Shakespeare. But I one of the things I really do like about that, like setting up a thesis, having a log line, is it adds adds to the marrow and the identity of the show. To your point, mm-hmm. you're really giving us a launch pad for the entire episode, right? So that we can go and the audience knows we're sending them off into something, which is so smart.
Yes, yes, yes. That is the main reason. And the thing that I remember the first time or the second or third time we did it, I put a note in the doc just to like ping for you the next time you write the episode, is I said, this is important because if you've never listened to this show before, I want you to listen and instantly know, oh, this is what the show is.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about this thing. And then as usual, we're going to fix it, right? We're going to say, why did this happen? And then how did it become this? And then we're going to fix it. Let's dive in. And so the audience who's listening, that's always listened to the show, is like, ooh, this is, I love, we're going on the journey. And someone who's new is going to go, oh, okay. So the first half of the show is going to be a deep dive. And then they're going to fix it.
Right.
I know where this is going. It's
I know where this is going, and you're guiding me along, and I'm going to listen more, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, if we were just talking, it'd be fine. But like now you're going, and this is what's going to happen. And then we go, oh, okay. Well, I guess I'm waiting for that to happen, you know?
So in writing class, that is called the promise of the premise. Meaning when you're watching a show, the show says, this is Scandal. And every episode, there's going to be a scandal and Olivia Pope is going to fix it. So now you know, when you're watching the show, at the very end, you get the promise of the premise. The premise is this, and here's what we're going to give you. And so,
she just called us Scandal and Olivia Pope. Okay. I'll take it, though.
Right. But and I used that example because, you know, we always do this thing where we say, welcome back to Let Me Fix It, the podcast that says da 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 da. There were a few times where I said, we're like Olivia Pope, but without the murder or the, I don't know, the fucking the president or something like that. but it's the similar format of like, here's the problem and then we're going to fix it via Olivia Pope. The promise of the premise, if anyone that's a writer out there, it's something to think about. You tell your audience what you're going to do and then it's very satisfactory to actually do it.
And I would add too, it's satisfactory to have it materialize, but then you can set them up and also subvert it and have it not materialize. Yes. And then you really got them. Okay. Not us writing. One of the characteristics of the pod that I really love is the games that we play. I think that just shows us and our personalities. But one of the things we're continuing to try to define, or refine rather, is having guests and how we incorporate guests.
Yes.
And so talk to me a little bit about, Fran, about like how you're feeling about how we incorporate guests and what your thoughts are on it. Because we had Colette
Three.
And we have Chelsea coming Lacey. Up and we had Lacey. So it's been a little different every time.
Yeah, it has been a little different every time. So, you know, we write these episodes and then we brought in Lacey and Kelechi. Kelechi actually pitched us an episode idea and then we did it with her. And then after that, when we did Chelsea, we decided to do like more traditional interview. And that was a fix in the sense of like, how do we make sure that our guests can really shine? Mm-hmm. Lacey and Kelechi are hilarious. They both did a great job. But afterwards, we had our little production meeting and we were like, oh, we just wanted to make sure that they got to say more.
Right.
And we want to make sure whoever is on the show leaves feeling like, oh, I really got to like show off, drop some knowledge, be funny, contribute to the show, and leave the audience going, oh, they're really interesting. I want to find out more about them.
Look them up. Yeah.
Exactly. So that was really fun. Similarly speaking, we've been trying to refine different types of formats for ourselves so that the pre-production process isn't so lengthy.
Yeah.
When we do like the Blockbuster episode, for example, or the Malls episode, or even Jussie Smollett, like we are doing so much research.
Yeah.
You're having to read articles. For Affluenza, you watched a fucking documentary.
Right.
For Lizzie Borden, you watched a documentary.
I sure did. I forgot about that. Totally.
You know, so you're like doing all of this homework. And so the Round Robin episodes have done really well for us.
Yeah.
And it's quote unquote easier in terms of a lift. Movie reviews is a new thing that we're trying out. And I think that's a really great episode that we did.
Yeah.
And then, bad apologies. So we've now done two apologies episodes And those might become recurring things because they are, quote, easier for us and still fit the format of the show.
And here's a future fix. I know we've kind of put out a call to our audience asking for, like, let us know if there's something you want to fix, like, or give us a suggestion for a TV show celeb, as we usually say. But I really want to put this call out now. Like, I would love for us to get, like, anonymous things that are happening in people's lives. And it's just to have an episode of, like, here are some audience fixes we're going to go through. Yeah. You know?
Fix the class.
Fix the class. We're also, one of the things I think is going to help us in the future of the pod is having a creative producer that can help us with a lot of pre-pro and maybe post-pro as well.
Because
this is all us doing it together.
Yes, I would love that. So, you know, we did sell the show and we're so thankful that we're able to make income from the show. And if you listen to the show, there are advertisements that also is helping us make money. But outside of that, like, we're doing all of the pre and post production on our own. And so, yes, in the future, I would love for us to have somebody who, for example, when we have all these ideas, we could say to our producer, can you just make a rough outline? Just throw some links and some videos. Again, when we have video inserts, we have to go find those, download them and insert them and write in the notes doc, like start the clip at 30 seconds in and end at 1:30 or whatever. Having somebody who could just do that for us would be amazing.
And yeah. And like, I mean, God, so I do the audio for the podcast. I do the editing of the audio and the mixing and stuff. I have to rip the video from the internet and then I have to put it in iMovie and then I have to detach the audio from the movie.
Oh, DeLon, you shouldn't be doing all that. I'm going to fix that for you. When you go and download on YouTube, you can download audio only.
Oh my God, you just broke my brain.
Yeah, you can download audio only.
Well, here's the thing. I use my phone and I record on like a screen capture on my phone.
Look at this.
she just got so uncomfortable. It's like a 14 process step.
No, you can download just audio.
Wow.
I will show you how to do that. Yes. Oh my God. And this is also just a great reminder. If there's ever part of the process that you are finding is taking up too much time, let me know because we can fix and solve a way to do it. And perfect example, DeLon was, you know, in a show that had an incredible run, was emotionally taxing, was going back and forth to Boston. Oof. And so I said, baby boy, let's pause next week.
Yeah.
We don't have to. And DeLon was like, I'm trying to get that. We could just pause. Or sometimes we've had a recording session scheduled and DeLon has said, like, I'm running around. I was like, well, we don't have to record today if you don't want to.
Right. Like, you had a fire alarm going off in your apartment one time. And we were like, okay, so we can't record over that.
They were testing the fire alarm. And you know what? We need to test the fire alarm. Yeah. I'm not trying
Please
to die.
And thank you.
Thank you very much. But it was going off all day long. And again, we were just like, we don't have to do this. We can stop. Some other fixes that have become part of our process is we upgraded to Riverside when we record. When we first started recording, we were recording over Zoom and the audio was not great over Zoom. And the video components were not great. The quality wasn't good. On Riverside, we're able to export the video and audio separately. We have backup recordings. Mm-hmm. If we have a guest, we have a backup audio. Also, this is not sponsored, but Riverside, if you wanted to sponsor us.
Ready?
Sign the DMs. I've used Riverside a number of times. If you want to try it, we do have an affiliate link. Just go to bit.ly/fixitpod and you can sign up for a trial. We will get a little commission if we use it. DeLon, is there anything that you've enjoyed about using Riverside? I don't know if you'd ever used it before.
I've never used Riverside before until this. I mean, first of all, again, not sponsored, but the interface is beautiful. It's like a fucking Mercedes.
It really is.
And downloading things is really simple. And because I do the audio, recently we had a guest on, Chelsea Fagan, and I was editing the podcast and like the last 10 minutes of her audio was just gone. You reminded me that we had a backup on Riverside and I went to get it and I was so fucking impressed with the audio. I just downloaded, it was like click, click, just download the audio and I stuck it in the podcast and it's fucking brilliant.
Yeah, you can also edit audio in Riverside. I think it's a little clunky. You can edit video too and I've tried it and I don't hate it, but I like my process better. I've been using Premiere and I've also been using CapCut. Shout out to both of those programs. But I do love that it has the capability for anybody that doesn't have the ability to purchase those other programs. I think you use Logic to edit.
I use Logic, which is like the upgraded version of GarageBand, and you use GarageBand.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah. I record backup audio for the pod on GarageBand, and it works just fine. But to your point about Logic, if you want a more upgraded experience, but not everybody can afford that. So
and honestly, to be completely transparent, GarageBand is just as good as Logic. Like Logic might have some more bells and whistles. And when we talk about Logic, what we're saying is like a digital audio workspace for just recording audio and editing audio. One of the other things I wanted to talk about just in the audio space is having an audio interface. Because before you started doing your podcast, you didn't have one, did you? Do you have an audio interface?
I do. I do have one. And I got it because of the Audible podcast that I've hosted. And they sent me a microphone and it has an interface that you need to use on your computer to make sure that like the levels are correct and stuff, but I had never used it before.
Yeah, it's like what an audio interface does basically. This is a bastardized version of it though. It takes like sound waves and like converts it into ones and zeros so your computer can understand it more, and you know, so it can send it to the headphones. Because if you're just like plugged, it's hard to plug a microphone just into your computer and have the audio be what you need it to be to set levels and all those things, like you said.
Well, class, since we've done a little behind the scenes of the podcast, this is normally the part of the show where we would then fix the topic that we did a deep dive on. But instead, we've kind of been doing it throughout this conversation. We would like to wrap with advice that we have for aspiring podcasters or friends that want to work on creative projects together. So, Delon, kick us off. What would you suggest for anybody who's thinking, I think I want to start a podcast or a web series or like write a show or something?
I would say like depending on like who you're doing it with. I mean you're probably wanting to do that with somebody else, or I guess you could have a podcast by yourself. People also have podcasts where they're just the voice of God. But you know, I think understanding who you're doing it with and setting some kind of parameters, because one of the things we've talked about on the pod that I think we do very well is we prioritize our friendship. We have said it multiple times, like, yo, if things are going awry and we're not happy and if the podcast is getting in the middle of the friendship and it's going badly,
we'll
cut the podcast, because your friendship is so much more significant to me than doing this little podcast. So I could totally cut it off. So just know who you're working with and set expectations for that.
Yeah.
How about you? What are some of the things you would
on that same prioritizing the friendship tip, because you know me, I'm a polyamorous creative. I worked with lots of different people, is prioritizing time away from your creative project to just be friends. Because for us, for example, we talk all the time and talk about stuff that has nothing to do with the podcast, and we will just be like, let's catch up, you know, like, let's just talk on the phone. We could talk after we record. We text all the time. Shamika, for example, she and I have written and sold a number of projects together, but we also just like go on hikes and have dinner together and, you know, whatever. It's so important, because if you start doing work with your friend and then the work becomes the only thing you do with that friend, it can strain the relationship. You need that balance.
It
can.
It will.
It absolutely will.
Yeah.
The other thing that I think you and I are really good about is just not being too precious.
Yeah.
I think when you're working on creative projects, you need to acknowledge that sometimes something's not going to work and it has nothing to do with you. It's not an indictment of your talent. You just have to be okay with like, yeah, we're going to cut this.
Yeah.
And you and I are really good with being like, I think we should just cut this. I don't think it's working. Let's just move on. Like, you know, or we'll be like, wild pitch, what if we did this? And it's like, oh yeah, maybe we should do that. And we'll just do it. And we'll just move on.
Yeah. Well, because it's always in service of the project. It's not, again, it's nothing personal against you. It's just like, well, I think that might get in the way of this. And we're you're just creating it together. And what's the most judicious and efficient way to do that? The other thing I think we're so good at is just like cheering one another on. Like every time, class, every time we're done with like an outline or an edit of the pod, we will go and listen to it. We will go and read and we're like, great fucking job. Like really good job. And we genuinely mean it, but it's also like you acknowledging how much effort we put into the thing and going, yes, I see you. Thank you for doing that for us, for our project that we're doing together. It's just so meaningful to cheer each other on and keep us going, you know?
Yeah, I think that that's definitely part of you and I's personalities. But I will also add, I feel like I got that from going to art school and acting school and being in art classes where we would always have to give critique at the end of someone's monologue. And we always would talk about, you need to say positive things about the work before, during, or after your feedback. So it's not just all negative.
Right.
And I think this is a huge thing for creative people, whether you're in a writer's room, whether you're part of a staff and you have to, you know, get feedback from your manager, whether you're giving notes on a project, you have to give positive reinforcement in addition to the critique. Otherwise, all you will remember is the critique.
Yes.
Those little seeds of encouragement are what are going to keep you going and keep that engine revving. And you're right. We're so good at being like, especially when you work really long and hard on something and then the person just jumps in.
Red
and
marker.
No, you didn't do this. You didn't do this. Blah, 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 blah. I'm always like, can you say one positive thing so that I know like I'm on the right track or I feel like invested and excited to keep working on this thing? And a lot of people don't do that.
Well, it's that constructive criticism piece. You know, I say this all the time. I think everything's up for critique. But if we're working on a project together, there's a difference between saying that's not going to work and just crossing it out and cutting it. But if you're leading that by saying, hey, but I really loved this thing, I think that fucking sings. Let's see if we can expand that versus and not keep this other part because I don't think that's working, right? So it's like you're lifting up and giving constructive criticism as well, which I think is super important.
Another piece of advice is just the importance of being flexible, which is also kind of akin to the being not too precious, but just the idea of like, we need to record it this time. I'm late on this. We're changing the topic. We're cutting this thing. Just being malleable, I think, is so important instead of being stringent of like, we only can record on Tuesdays. It's like, okay, well, like life happens. And sometimes you can't record on a Tuesday or the freaking alarm is going off or whatever. And just remembering like it's a marathon, not a sprint. Mm. So like that means that sometimes you're going to have to make adjustments and it's okay. It doesn't mean that the project's not good or your partner's not a good partner. It's just like sometimes shit happens.
Well, and I'll also add, if you are that stringent, then it becomes a chore. Right. Mm-hmm. And then you start to resent the project because it's taking up so much space in your life. If it is something that's malleable, it still can. It's work. Don't get me wrong. It's fucking work. But it's work you enjoy. Right. You'll be like, oh, great. I get to do this now because it's not taking anything away from your life. Right. One of the other things I think is really additive that we have a benefit of having is podcast network, right? So if you're an independent podcaster and you know you have the ability or the opportunity or the resources to apply to interview or pitch to a podcast network, hard recommend. Acast, we love you to death. Again, big ups to Guillermo and Tim. You treat us so well. I really, really would highly recommend pitching to a podcast network. But on my other podcast, we didn't have a podcast network. That was literally us just buying some hosting space and paying some. So even if you don't have a podcast network and you want a podcast, Spotify, I know, you know, this isn't sponsored.
Yeah, they have Spotify. Yeah, have Spotify for podcasters. I'll also add that so Acast also has a hosting service. So class, if you make a podcast, your podcast needs to live on the internet. And I know from experience previously, Last Name Basis lived on my website and it crashed my website. The files were just too big. There were too many people listening. You need to host your content somewhere that has enough space and literal bandwidth so people can download and listen to the show. So you can host your content on Acast. You have to pay a fee for it.
Sure.
But We love the Acast platform. It's so easy to upload your episodes, yes. Add artwork, clip your episodes, put ad placements. They also have like an Acast premium platform. So almost like your own version of a Patreon if you wanted to put content behind a paywall. It's super easy to use. Again, we are not being told to say this. We genuinely
had a great experience with them.
We've had a great experience and we've used so many other different platforms. Yes. That like we've figured out what works and what doesn't work for us.
One of the things I think we should like shove off to now is just some future fixes about what we see coming up down the pike for the podcast. What are some things that we really can't wait to do? One of the things that I'm terrified of, just to be completely transparent, is a live show. Why am I so scared of a live show?
Okay, that is okay. This I'm from a live man performer. Who was doing 8 shows a week on motherfucking Broadway. You're worried about a live show?
Who's literally crying several times a night in a play not that long ago, right? Yeah, I don't know. There's something about it. There's something about being yourself on stage versus being a character. That's like a whole nother podcast. But yeah, I'm a little nervous about it.
Oh, that is a really good point.
It's like nervous, excited energy.
I'm very excited about the prospect of a live show. That is something that I'm manifesting for us. I would love a bi-coastal, one in LA, one in New York. I would love for us to go on tour at some point. And I have experience. I was a stand-up for a long time. I'm in the process of like writing new material and trying to go back to stand-up. So I feel really comfortable. And I do a lot of public speaking. I did a book tour. I feel really comfortable on stage as me. And I love the possibility that like we would get to do that together as like your first time and like develop our own unique format for live shows. Because similarly to how we've figured out a format for the podcast, when you do a show live and there's an audience in front of you actually viewing the podcast taping, you have to change the format up.
Yeah.
Like, let's put some graphics up. Like, let's have, I don't know, a fucking dance break. Like, things that might not be in the audio version that are just special for the live show, for example.
You know what's going to help me with that, I realized, too, is, like, when I do one of the outlines, I know so much about that topic. I tend to know so much about it. So I can just speak off the cuff about it, you know? And I think it's just going to be like that. Like, to your point, what's the format and what are we including in the live show that it's going to make me?
Yeah. You know? I mean, like off the top of my head, I would say a live show would be round robin. We wouldn't do a deep dive topic. And we could also do audience round robins. We could pre-screen, because let me tell you, I've been listening to a lot of live shows where they obviously are not pre-screening audience members.
Uh-uh.
And they get up there and they start, you know, killing me softly with his song.
No, ma'am.
No, we got pre-screen. Okay. You know? So those are some things that I would say would be really fun to do. We could do games.
Yeah, love a game. Games. I love a dance party. I love that. Let's start the whole fucking thing with a big dance party.
Yeah, and you know what? On the games tip, I will say shout out to Love It or Leave It, which is a live podcast that I've had the honor of being a guest on. And they always play games on the pod. And they're so funny and so smart. And they do graphics for the live show. And when you're listening to the podcast episode, they're still super enjoyable. But there's all these like Easter egg jokes in the live show that nobody listening knows because they weren't there, which is really fun.
You said Easter egg, and I immediately thought of the Easter bunny. Like, that would have been a great art. You know, we put the Easter...
Yes, that would be great.
If you didn't hear that episode, friends, I think it was the shopping malls.
Go
back and listen to the beginning of the shopping malls episode because we show these...
And then go watch it.
And then go watch it on YouTube because we show these Easter bunny photos that are horrendous and hilarious.
Yeah, that would be super fun to do live. Some other future fixes that I'm excited about are Lemme Fix It merch.
Mm.
People have been asking for She's a Writer merch.
She's a Writer merch.
Like a mug that just says She's a Writer.
You know,
isn't that funny?
It's hilarious. You know what? I, as someone who edits the podcast and listens to our voices all the time, I want one of me going, okay.
Okay.
After
or just listen. Listen.
Because listen. One of my other favorite ones recently I've noticed is, you know what that reminds me of? That's such a good one.
Okay, another one is, and this is not merch, but this is a thing that I notice I do a lot, is To that point, to your point, it's another version of yes and.
Yeah, totally.
Circling back. Someone on Instagram asked if we would think about sponsoring a vacation as a potential future event.
Like we sponsor a vacation or somebody sponsor us a vacation?
So here's the thing. There are a number of these companies. I'm not going to name the company because I want them to come to us and pay us. But there are these companies that sponsor these influencer trips. Meaning they will put together a whole package for your audience to purchase and go on a trip with you. And
are you kidding?
I have a friend. No, I have a friend that is a full-time, she's like a model, but she's also like a model influencer. And she does these trips where she's like, hey friends, we're going to Bali and we're going to do yoga and we're going to do camel riding and we're going to do a cooking class and a blah, blah, blah. And you are paying for your travel and your lodging, but you're also paying to hang out with her on vacation.
Which wow. is
like, and then the company gives you like a cut of the profits.
You know what? I
would
love,
kill that.
I would love this idea. And I also like in that trip, I would love to us for us to have like a guest that is someone on the trip. So come and sit down with us and like, let's have a conversation about the trip.
Oh my God, wait, that would be so cute where it's like, go on vacation with us. And then there's like a special live podcast taping.
Yes.
While we're on vacation.
I love that. Oh my God,
manifesting that for us. Or like a cruise. Like, I mean, I know I poo-pooed on cruises. Some of y'all came in the DMs and were like, this cruise was amazing. And I'm like, I'm sorry. But similarly, we could say we are going on a cruise. These are the dates. If y'all want to come.
Come on.
And then, like, let's fucking hang out together. Oof,
you see me manifesting this? Like, I am manifesting this for us because this thing is going to grow. You guys, we have plans, aspirations for a Let Me Fix It TV show. Okay.
Claim it.
Claiming that for us. I love that idea. Just to skip back to merch really quick, I love this idea that we've had about having a Let Me Fix It kit. We have these ideas
for
like little kits that could fix different parts of your life, right? It could be like a med kit. It could be like something you keep in your purse that's like, you know, it could be as simple as like some Q-tips and like
but it's under the umbrella of like, let me fix it. One thing that I thought about was when I got divorced and I suddenly was putting up pictures and I needed to fix things, I bought my own like power tool set and it's come in so handy. And I now have like a little drawer in my pantry that has all of the little things that I need for odds and ends around the house. And I was like, oh, a little kit like this with Let Me Fix It on it would be amazing. Mm. Like a little level to hang pictures, a tape measurer, some scotch stick tape type stuff that you could hang things on the wall without putting a hole in it, and it's under Let Me Fix It.
I thought about a little keychain that is like a little sound thing that has some of our phrases on it. So listen, or like whatever it is, or like something like you're in a party and somebody says something and it's like ah, ah, ah. <You're> like, it'd be really cute.
That's really funny. Well, also, I don't know if you've seen, I think I talked about it one time. Carisha from the City Girls has a game called Carisha Please. Let Me Fix a Game, I think, would be so fun.
I love that.
Kind of like in the vein of Cards Against Humanity, where it could be like different topics. Like we could have career, we could have TV show, we could have brands, and they could have like little factoids about the thing. And then people could have to like pitch fixes or something. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, because I would add to that. Like I've talked about this on the pod. There are a couple people, therapists, that have come out with like card games that are therapy, right? They're good prompts for couples or whatever. Having all of the pop culture things there would be really cool, but adding like some like deep ones that, because we get deep about life, like to, you know.
Like thought starters.
Thought starters. Yeah.
All right, friends. Well, to wrap up our deep dive on the Behind the Podcast, we've got homework for you. We need your help. We say this every single episode, but your feedback and support is so important. So please share the podcast.
Tell your
friends. Post about it on social media. Leave us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can also send us an email, letmefixitpod@gmail.com, or hit us up on Instagram @fixitpod.
Please. And now it's time for everyone's favorite segment, The Glow Up, where we give props to those who turn themselves around without our help. But first, let's take a quick break.
Thank you. Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
And we are back. Fran, ladies first.
Ooh.
What is your glow up?
My glow up this week goes to Lamb Chop. Do you remember Lamb Chop?
The puppet?
The puppet?
Yeah. Yes.
The puppet?
Yes.
So Lamb Chop is having a comeback on TikTok at your fave Lamb Chop. This is so cute. So, the daughter of the woman who created Lamb Chop, her name is Sherry Lewis. Her daughter has brought Lamb Chop back to life on TikTok after her mother passed away. So when her mother passed away, she stopped, you know, Lamb Chop ceased to exist. And her daughter, Mallory Lewis, talked about getting all of these letters from fans of Lamb Chop that were so sad that her mother had passed away. And a lot of the letters were like, well, is Lamb Chop dead too? It was like so sad.
My heart.
I know. And Mallory was talking about, there was a profile of her in People magazine, and she talked about not wanting to be a ventriloquist, not wanting to be an entertainer, you know, like kind of having these huge shoes to fill.
Sure.
Because of her mother's, you know, illustrious career. She did work as the head writer on her mother's show. She was a producer, and she had a friend who was, her stepdaughter was doing well on TikTok and was like, maybe you should make some content during the pandemic. And so this quote I thought was so cute from her. She says, at first I was like, oh God, not another social media platform. But I tried it and my third video went viral. Now I love it. My theory is every network serves its purpose. Facebook is for fighting with family. X is for fighting, X meaning Twitter, is for fighting with complete strangers. Instagram is for beautiful young things. But TikTok is for entertainers.
Wow.
And so she is on TikTok. She's got almost 200,000 followers. And she's just being Lamb Chop. And it's so sweet because what I realized, like, I missed the boat on Lamb Chop because I was a little too old when first got introduced to it. But a lot of people remember Lamb Chop from a part of their childhood. Maybe you had a rough childhood, or maybe you lost a parent, or maybe you struggled in school, or you had, you know, challenges with self-esteem. And so they are linking Lamb Chop to like a happier time in their life.
Mm.
And so when Sherry passed away, a lot of people were mourning Sherry and Lamb Chop.
Right.
So now for this puppet to be able to like have another life and make new friends and gain a new audience through social media is really fantastic and truly the type of story we need more of.
Like, you know what's so beautiful about that is just like, I mean, as I like slowly start to cry, like the defibrillation of Lamb Chop, it just, those kinds of things remind us of wonder and awe, right? And the things that I think in your cynical and jaded life, you being all of us, I know you, but also me, right? Like, I'm very cynical and very jaded because you have enough experiences in life and you're like, ugh, this is not going to go well. Something bad happens every day. The news, this, that. It reminds you like, oh, remember that little thing that like brought you so much joy when you were five?
Yeah.
And like, let's go back to that for a moment. Like, you're allowed to enjoy that, right? It's so beautiful. And I think that's part of what, you know, I have nieces and nephews, and like, that's what I love giving gifts, because I'm like, I get to play with the toy through you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's so beautiful.
Dylan, what's your glow up this week?
So my glow up is somebody who's been in the culture, in the zeitgeist in the last, you know, I don't know, 5 to 10 years, but is coming back with a new podcast. So Meghan Markle, the Duchess of Sussex, is back with a new podcast partnership. So last year, Meghan Markle, she had a podcast partnership with Spotify, and she hosted a show called Archetypes, a podcast where, quote, we investigate, dissect, and subvert the labels that try to hold women back, which makes a lot of sense because I think she is somebody who's been royally, if I could say, hated.
Oh, I loved it. Thank you. Thank you.
She's been hated and or loved. And I think, you know, just to make it Black History Month even more, I do think, right, like the idea that this is a tangent. The idea that like royalty was kind of stolen from us, and I think regalness was kind of stolen from our ancestors in terms of like the African diaspora, meaning like we don't know where we come from. I think the African part of us is kind of missing, other than our skin here in America, right? Like I don't feel connected to Africa. But there's this like imperialism around the crown and colonization and all these things. And I think for us, for me, I'll say, seeing somebody that kind of looks like you, because you know she's mixed, kind of looks like you, infiltrate this thing that's kind of always looming, was really gratifying, right? Mm-hmm. It was gratifying to be like, oh, we have a Black princess. I know they're not calling her a princess, but she was a Black princess to us, mm-hmm. right? And yeah. I know people have their you know, criticisms of Meghan Markle, but I just want to put that out there. But Archetypes was her having conversations with really famous people, Serena Williams, Margaret Cho, Issa Rae, Mindy Kaling. But she has this new partnership with Lemonada Media, which is a self-professed audio-first podcast network with a mission to make life suck less. I hope it works out for y'all. Making life suck less, I mean. I hope it works out for the Duchess, too, because evidently Archetypes wasn't the best. But Lemonada has podcasts from Julia Louis-Dreyfus, one called Wiser Than Me with Julia, and Choice Words with Samantha Bee, so they already have some celebs. Yeah. I hope it goes well for her. Archetypes will also be with Lemonada Media, but she's back trying to do it again.
Oh, I love that for her. And to your point about the fact that, again, look at me, to your point, well, she loves a yes and. To your point, I do also appreciate that despite the slings and arrows, Meghan Markle says, I'm still here.
Okay.
Here. She, you know what I mean? You're not gonna hold our good sis down.
Okay.
And that really feels very much like the let me fix it spirit. Something didn't work out. You're going to pivot. You're going to try something again.
Well said.
They could keep talking about you, but guess what? The check continues clearing.
Thank you.
So collect Megan said, play those. Hate listen if you want to, but guess what? I'm still going to be doing the thing. So shout out to her.
Absolutely.
So class, now we want to hear from you. What is the creative project that you are working on, or maybe the one that you've been resisting, but maybe some tips from this episode have inspired you to dive in head first? Or maybe you would like to suggest a TV show, a celeb, or a brand that we should fix in a future episode. Hit us up on Instagram at FixItPod, or email us letmefixitpod@gmail.com.
And we have a YouTube channel. Don't forget, you guys, go to the
Delon
YouTube.
Delon is getting up in that camera, and you will know when you go watch this
when
episode
you go
on YouTube.
Watch these big old eyes on YouTube. So youtube.com/@fixitpod as well. And if you enjoyed this episode, as always, be sure to give us a rating on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music, or your favorite podcast app. I am Delon.
And I'm Francesca. And this was
Let Me Fix It.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.